forth, and we'll not go there, but we're going to talk about real and fake thanksgiving, because sometimes it's real easy to be giving thanks, but not really meaning it, right? So, these young people, they know what kind of thanksgiving God wants. He wants the real kind, doesn't he? But you know, sometimes us adults, we forget that. Can you believe that? We give thanks a lot. How many of y'all bow your heads and pray before your meals? Lots of you. Even at McDonald's. You know, McDonald's is a challenging place to pray. But we do it anyway. But it's very hard sometimes to really concentrate and listen as the prayers are given in thanksgiving. So I want to keep us focused on that a little bit tonight. But when we go to John chapter 6, for instance, in verse 11, Scripture tells us that when Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. So Jesus took food, like we might grab a hamburger at McDonald's, but it's not exactly the same thing like a loaf. But Jesus took the loaves, and he did something. He gave thanks for that. What is food for us? It's like, Today I was gifted a big old piece of chocolate cake with ice cream. And I could have come up here and had another piece, I understand. And I'm thankful for that. Food is something we are blessed with, isn't it? It's something that has been given to us by the Almighty Giver, the God of heaven. And so Jesus took time to give thanks. In Luke 22, verse 19, he took bread and he gave thanks. And he broke it, gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." There he's talking about his sacrifice and how we are to remember it when we take the Lord's Supper. But it's interesting, once again, when he took that bread at that supper, he gave thanks because he was thankful for the opportunity to have it. And it's also interesting, as we go into the book of Acts in chapter 27, which you ought to be there, turn to, in verse 33, we read that it was the day that was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food. And when he had said these things, verse 35, what is going on there? The ship is in danger. Paul warns them what's going to happen. They don't, of course, want to eat because of the situation, but he tells them, eat. They need the nourishment. Food's for nourishment. Verse 35. And after he said these things, he took bread. Paul gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. There's our authority for praying at McDonald's, right? He's on a ship, lots of people around, probably more noise than McDonald's. And in the presence of them all, he gave thanks. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. God has given, and for that which we are thankful. Now, here is where I need the young people's help tonight. All right, Brock, you ready for this? Let's look at this picture real close. Are these young people up here from probably about 1950, maybe in the 40s? Are these young people, as they sit in this schoolroom, are they truly and really thankful? Well, it kind of looks like it, doesn't it? I mean, they're bowing their heads, right? And what are they doing? They're putting their hands together. Now, how many of you all get to say prayers like this at school? Not so much anymore, do they? Back when we were kids, we did, didn't we? But somehow or another, that's been pushed out of schools. Sad to say. But children in the 40s, anybody raised in the 40s here? How many of y'all prayed at school? How many of you were even taught by the teachers to pray and to give thanks for food? Yes. But those days have gone. But in here, we've got some children that are praying. And I love this little girl over here, if you can see her, that's got her hands like this. I think she's trying to dig her eyes out. Do you see that? Can you see? I'm probably standing your way. Can you see that? Well, I want you to notice something else. Did y'all catch this little girl here? I don't think she's following the rest of the group, do you? She doesn't seem to be as involved in the prayer. In fact, I think she's more interested in watching the cameraman or something, or maybe she sees food over there or something. And as you look at this guy way back there, do you see him? What do you notice about him? I think he's actually more interested in the girl in front of him than he is the food and giving thanks for it. And so we got a couple folks that are not quite involved. And so when you think about it, in this giving of thanks, do we have some that appear to be giving real thanks and maybe others not so thankful? That's what we see. Now take a look at this girl right here. What do you see? Now she's thankful, at least we hope so. We don't know so. We want to believe she's thankful, but in this prayer, what do you see? Her hands are folded. That's good, right? But what do you see? Is she closing her eyes? What does she seem to be concentrating on? Her food. But you know what? I almost can understand this. Because you see that poor turkey there? That is the poorest looking turkey I've ever seen in a long time. I don't believe that was grown by ConAgra or Tyson. That poor turkey hadn't been eating too good. In fact, it might have been thankful it was put out of its misery. And not only that, as you look at the front of that turkey, it looks like a fish head. So maybe she doesn't really want to eat that turkey. I'm not too sure. But one thing that's pretty obvious in the picture, she's not really involved in the Thanksgiving, as it appears in the picture. Now, how about this young man right here? Is this real or fake Thanksgiving? Yeah, if he's giving thanks, it's hard to tell, right? Thank you for the food. I don't think he's too thankful for that food. Why not? Well, what do you see on the plate? I think that's asparagus or something. I'm not too sure that's French fries. It looks like green beans or squash and carrots and Brussels, not Brussels sprouts. What is that? What is that called? Brussels sprouts? It is Brussels sprouts. Well, what if that plate was filled full of cooked cabbage? Okay, adults, how many of y'all read the bulletin article? Would Rick Bright be thankful for cooked cabbage? No. I'd be just like this guy. I could say thanks for it, but it'd be really tough for it to be real Thanksgiving. Knowing even that it comes from God, I appreciate that. In fact, in reading about cabbage, you learn it actually came and originated as a food in China, they say. And if I'd known that as a kid, I'd told Mom to leave it there. Not on the favorite list at all. We can see clearly that this is not real Thanksgiving. I want us to look in Acts 24 at some Thanksgiving, but I also want us to note that it's fake Thanksgiving. In Acts chapter 24, verse 2, it's an occasion where Paul is being brought to trial. There are those who want him done away with. And when he was called upon, Tertullius, a lawyer, began his accusation. He's a Jew. He's before Felix. And he begins an accusation saying, seeing that through you we enjoy great peace. In other words, he's before a governor. And he says, because of what you've done, we enjoy great peace and prosperity is being brought to this nation by your foresight. So this is a Jew speaking to a Roman ruler. And then verse 3 says, we accepted always in all places most noble Felix. And notice what he says. Y'all read those words? Caitlin, can you see or am I standing in your way? There you go. With all thankfulness. Brothers and sisters and young people, we know that this Thanksgiving is fake. How do we know? Well, let's look at what happens. Verse 4. He says this, and then he goes on. He says, "Nevertheless, not to be tedious to you any further, I beg you to hear by your courtesy a few words from us." What was he wanting? He was wanting a favor from Felix, the governor. And so what is he doing? Going back here, look a little bit. "Seeing that through you we enjoy great peace and prosperity is being brought to this nation by your foresight." Oh, Felix, you're a wonderful person. In fact, he calls him in verse 3, "We accept it always in all places, most noble Felix, with all thanksgiving." Well, here's what's fascinating. Not only did he want something, but he was willing to lie to get it. What do you mean lie? Well, he says with all thankfulness. But Jews were not happy with Rome dominating them. In fact, there was a group of zealots who fought against Rome many, many times. And Rome had done some pretty terrible things. Some of these governors were responsible for things like Josephus writes about when there was an uprising or a rebellion because the Romans would go into the temple and rob it. The Jews would rebel, and what the governor would do, he would order kind of folks into secret service. And they would go mix with the people and put clubs in their clothes. And when it came time, all at once a signal would be given and they would take those clubs out and beat the people. That's how cruel Rome was. So when he uses these words with all thankfulness, I have very serious considerations about what he's doing. And of course, as you see this, he wants a favor. So that gives us an idea biblically of what we could consider fake thanksgiving. But it's important for us to give real thanks for the things that we ought to be thankful. I love this verse in the Psalms 107, verse 8. "Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing," and not just any longing, but the longing soul. Isn't it wonderful that God has an answer for those who hunger and thirst after righteousness? He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. We live in a world wherein we are truly blessed. If I thought about it, John, I'd probably talked about the "Kept Your Many Blessings" song, because it's beautiful. We're blessed with many, many, many blessings. And the young people have with them a sheet. And I'm going to get the adults to help us out a little bit. The copier broke. For some of you probably noted that already. It created a great amount of frustration for several of us on Saturday. And it's still in one piece, though. That's the good news. Although it would have been good to have a shotgun taking it outside. Because I wasn't too thankful for it. Thankful when it works, but it wasn't working. Anyway, here's a sheet. And I gave this to young people or their parents this morning, asking if they fill it out at home. And what it says is, "I'm thankful." And it says, "Pick three things and write or draw them in the square below." And what I asked them to do was three things I am thankful for at home, in the, and then I gave them a choice. The living room, bedroom, the kitchen, the garage. Randy, I'm going to put you on the spot since you're sitting up here, okay? What room would you pick? Yeah. Garage. And so what are you thankful for in your garage? Yeah. You're thankful that your wife has left you a little bit of room for your tools. Are you thankful for your tools? I thought you might say thankful for the motorcycle. Now, I might pick the bedroom because as a kid, we didn't have a bathroom that was anywhere in the house until I entered high school. Before that, we had to make trips outside, especially in the night. It wasn't pleasant. So I'm thankful that my bedroom has a very close nearby outhouse. Maybe you picked another room, and adults be thinking about that. I'm going to take a look at what our young people have supplied for us. How about you, Brock? I'm going to start with you. Is it okay? Is this yours? Okay. Three things I'm thankful for at home. You chose the kitchen. All right, that's a good room. And Brock's my kind of man. He chose out of the kitchen turkey, followed by hamburger. And that word there is family. And he's got me drawn right there in the kitchen. Good place to enjoy family, isn't it? If you got other things there, you know. All right, let's see here. Josh put, three things I'm thankful at home is the kitchen. I wonder why boys would pick a kitchen. I can eat there. I can talk there. Also, I can watch TV while eating. So that's pretty good to be thankful for. You're probably also thankful for the cooks, right? Yeah, cook your food. Good. Wow. Ethan, you did good. It is Ethan, right? Ethan, yeah. I keep getting your name wrong. You forgive me. Three things I'm thankful for at home in the bedroom. He's thankful for his bed. So am I. Except for the cat that crawls in the middle of the night. I'm thankful for box fan. You got a box fan and it keeps you cool when mom turns up the house because she's cold all the time? Okay, good. He says, I'm thankful for my hat. Oh, he's got a hat signed by Robin Lopez. That is something to be thankful for, I guess. I don't know who Robin Lopez is, but I know he's not a bird, right? Which is good. Okay, awesome. You're thinking there. Appreciate that. Caitlin, what do you have for me? Caitlin says the living room. And she's thankful for a family that's in the living room. And she's thankful for God that occupies her living room and for Jesus. That's pretty good, isn't it? And I know they are too. But she also wrote something. I asked her about that in a little bit more. She wrote one more thing, and she says her desk. And she has a desk, right? And you get to use your desk in the living room. You're thankful for that. Your bedroom. Okay, well, good. And you do homework on it? Probably. All right. And you're going to have to tell me your name again because I forgot. Molly. I'm so sorry, Molly. Molly's so sweet and quiet, and thank you for telling me your name. Three things I'm thankful for at home, Molly says, the kitchen. She likes the kitchen. And it's interesting that she mentions food. So you like to eat, Molly. And, of course, with every good plate of food, you need a table. And she says, I'm thankful for the table. And then, additionally, this is an interesting answer. She says, the sink. And I'm not, because of the worship situation, I'll let her explain to me that later. But there's a reason that she likes the sink. And I don't know if it's because she gets to bathe animals in the sink, play with her dolls, or put all her brother's stuff in there she doesn't like and turn on the faucet or what. But she can tell me later. Molly, will you tell me later? Okay. Anna, you got your sheet? Anna says, three things I'm thankful for at home in the living room. And good answer, my family. She's thankful for her family. And I notice there's a plural here. She says, my dogs. That means more than one here, doesn't it? And then, this is a good answer, Anna. She says, my Bible. And you read your Bible in the living room, don't you? Yeah, studies there. Very good. Appreciate that so much. The exercise was simply for them to think. What are they really thankful about? How many of us take time to do that? Good. Number of you. And I want to encourage that. I want to encourage them to keep thinking. What is it that I'm really thankful for? Because what happens? It gets real easy to take advantage of just everything that we have at our disposal. All the blessings that we have been given. And so I encourage taking that time to be genuinely thankful. There is a prayer that's taught to children. I understand this is taught in the mission field by teachers teaching children. It's a prayer that goes like this, and I'll just run through it in the slides very quickly. Father, Father up above, thank you for your love. Thank you for my parents and my teachers too. I can see, I know these came from you. Father, Father up above, thank you for your love. Thank you for my meals and my warm bed too. I can see and I know these came from you. Father, Father up above, thank you for your love. Thank you for my friends, old and new. I can see and I know these came from you. Thank you, Father, for your gifts to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you imagine little children sitting in Africa or elsewhere in the world that have limited things learning this? What are they learning? They're learning to be thankful, even for things that won't compare to what we have. But it doesn't matter because they can be thankful. What does matter, however, is that these prayers like this do not become repetition. In some religious organizations, you'll go in and they regularly recite the Lord's Prayer. And they do it so often. I had one person tell me, you know, I recite it, I know it, but what does it mean? God wants us to mean what we say when we say thank you, doesn't He? He doesn't want our prayers to be repetition that says, okay, I just say it, I say it, I say it. He wants us to really give thanks, doesn't He? Look all the way back to the Old Testament. Scripture tells us, and when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own what? Your own free will. Now, look at this young lady right here. Can you all see her okay? I don't think she's thankful. And I don't know exactly what's on that plate, but she's not too excited about it, apparently. I don't know if she saw a bug in it or a worm or what, but she's not too happy about it. Now, look at this picture right here. These children are being taught back in the days in school when they were taught from the 50s on backwards. They were taught in public school, public education, to pray. And the teachers would work with them to try to get them to understand the importance of praying. And you have to think, well, that was good. But when we think about Thanksgiving, we don't just line up and say prayers, do we? Although I wish probably that happened more today so children would learn what it's about. But I want you to see what Leviticus 22 verse 29 said. Again, and when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. Y'all wrote these down yourself, didn't you? You thought about them yourself. They're things they are thankful for. And it's important to do that. And then when we give thanks for those things, it comes from where? From inside us, doesn't it? It comes from our heart. It's an offering of free will. Now, when you look at this young lady here, if she were called upon to say a prayer in her family relationship, maybe her mom's with her, and she's looking at that food like it's cabbage, she doesn't appear to be too happy, does she? Have y'all ever heard mom say, "You eat that, it's on your plate"? You might hear that, okay. Well, when we pray, we offer literally a sacrifice of ourselves to God. It allows us the opportunity to say thank you from the heart. It's our giving to the Father. In Psalm 50, verse 23, the one who offers thanksgiving as a sacrifice, the psalmist says, glorifies me. God is speaking for God in inspiration. Then the psalmist adds this, to one who orders the way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. And so clearly, as you think about God being the one that is glorified, also you think about God as being the one that's receptive of those who give that thanks. And God has blessed us with showing us the way of salvation. Also, real thanksgiving recognizes that God is that giver. In Deuteronomy 26, verse 9, way back in the Old Testament, talking about the land flowing with milk and honey, and we that are Bible students understand what that's talking about. Verse 10, now behold, I've brought you the first fruits of land which you, O Lord, have given me. And what is that we read here? It's a recognition of what? That God is the giver of the blessings. And then as you look at verse 11, so you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house. You might have wondered, why did Rick give them a sheet that said, pick a room and find something in that room they're thankful? Well, look what this verse says. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house. Of course, I think there he's talking about the family. But it is interesting to think about our houses even, isn't it? How we are blessed to live in such a comfortable situation in most cases. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're told by Paul to rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. And this is the ESV. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. One of the things that's so vital for children to learn and for us as adults is that, yes, even in every circumstance, we can be thankful. There's always something to be thankful for. Paul in prison could be thankful. Even people that are suffering with this ailment or that can still be thankful. I remember one brother who was undergoing some difficulties with cancer. It was pretty serious. I'd walk in and I'd say, how you doing, brother? He says, I'm doing good. I said, well, how's it going? He said, well, I'm still dealing with cancer, but I'm doing good. I said, well, what makes you do good? He said, God. We understand that, don't we? When the world's crumbling around us, we can still grab hold of something that means something, and that's the Almighty. And that was his attitude, that his day was going to be good because his day was going to be with God. Now, I kind of don't want to miss this here. Here's another group of kids. And what are they doing? They're praying again. It looks like we've got a pretty good praying group here, don't we? But there's one little boy. Can you find him? I kind of gave him away here. What's he doing? He's got his hands together like he's praying, but I'm thinking that he's probably more thankful he's standing next to that young lady than he is whatever the teacher wants him to concentrate on. You know, sometimes we get distracted, don't we? It's real easy in life to get distracted. Maybe it's because we got cancer. Maybe it's because we're struggling with this illness or that illness or this problem or that problem. Or maybe it's because our eyes are really focused on something that we find kind of pretty. But yet, we never should give up doing what? Praying and being thankful. I want to end with this. Our time's up, and I apologize for the time that I've taken tonight, but going over a little bit. But moms, appreciate you. We've been talking to young people. I want to talk to young moms and moms because you understand this. Talking about circumstances, whether it be with cancer or just life in general. Moms have to go through a lot. I did a search on the internet and put in frazzled moms. And there's a whole bunch of pictures of frazzled moms. Moms have to deal with early wake-ups because of kids and husband and the work to do. They end up cleaning house. They end up doing laundry. They have dishes to wash. They have to sweep up the crumbs that are under the table. They get the privilege of going grocery shopping when they're wore out and tired and the weather's miserable outside. And, of course, number 7 goes without saying. I'm not going to spend any time there. Lots of noise. Endless questions from children about homework. And then they end up at night going to bed sore and tired. Anybody understand that? I got a lot of folks going, Yeah. Hard to sometimes be grateful for these things, isn't it? I want to share with you something that this is not original with me. I ran across it, thought this is great. Grateful for early wake-ups. Why? Because we've got children to love. Grateful for a house to clean because we have a safe place to live. Grateful for the laundry because that means I've got clothes to wear. Grateful for dishes to wash. That means we've got food to eat. Grateful for crumbs underneath the table. That means we have family meals at the table. Grateful for grocery shopping because that means we've got the money to provide for our family. 7, toilets to clean. That means we've got indoor plumbing. And some of our folks back here, they appreciate that, don't you? 8, grateful for lots of noise. That means there's people in my life. Grateful for endless questions about homework. That means kids' brains are growing and we got kids to help with their homework. And then 10, tired and sore in bed. Grateful that I'm still alive. Doesn't that say a whole lot? That's real Thanksgiving, isn't it? It's when we can look beyond the superficial. They may not understand that, but y'all do. It's when we can truly recognize that God is the giver. And that He's blessed us abundantly. And therefore, we can truly bow our heads and say thank you with true thankfulness. Tonight, I'm thankful that I've had this privilege to have these young people here to look at real close, to interact with somewhat. Thankful for John leading the singing. Thankful that you're here tonight to listen. And thankful that in just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation song, which gives folks an opportunity to really understand how God is so good that He would put Jesus on the cross that would die so we, when we're baptized into Christ, can have remission of sins. And to know then and live as a faithful Christian, knowing that God is there for us, that He's got our back. So tonight, as we think about this, the invitation is yours. If you need to obey the gospel, if there's any other thing that we can do to help you or assist you in any way, then why not tonight, as we stand and sing, make that known to us. Would you come?
Oh, do not let the word depart.